Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
This is Nathan Ruggles here with you on the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this afternoon. I'd like to thank Apple Tree Media Works along with the Teamsters today. We appreciate their sponsorship for all that we do here at the Union Edge. And also be sure to check us out on Patreon. You can check us out. It's there at patreon.com/theunionedge. Again, that's patreon.com/theunionedge. Well, now it's our pleasure to have back with us here today with Work in Progress Radio from his top secret studio down there in Florida. It's Buck Geno.
It's good to be with you, Nathan. It's always a pleasure.
All right. And you have a guest with you here for this segment of the program.
I do. I have John Roering. John is a owner, editor, publisher, probably a longtime friend, actually, is with the Michigan Information Research Service. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm doing good, Buck. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us on such short notice. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. Glad to do it.
First of all, tell us a little bit about MERS and what you do.
Absolutely. MERS stands for Michigan Information and Research Service, and we cover the Michigan House and the Senate. We track all the bills that are moving through the Michigan legislature and the proposals that people are being asked to sign petitions for. We cover the courts, kind of look at all things political. We're a subscription-based service, and we're online at mersnews.com.
Well, great. So, and once again, thanks for joining us. I do have to give you, before we get started, I do have to give a disclaimer. I've been on your website, and I was looking at your publication of the one of the first pages of the new tax law, the new tax table.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite so optimistic that we're going to be able to do all this on a postcard.
No, I don't think we're going to be able to do it on a postcard. You know, there's still four brackets. There's still all sorts of stuff that's got to think about. We're still going to have a Form 1040, so no, it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world, and it's also caused state treasurer, it's caused him some heartburn. They enacted that right before Christmas.
Yeah. So as we get started here, John, one of the things that I kind of been struggling with is that, I remember when Governor Snyder was first elected in his term, and we gave the legislators passed I believe it was $1.6 billion tax cut to the corporations and some of the businesses. And I'm trying to figure out, I was reading and I was saying that, now that they say the budget is tight, is that true or are we not? I would have thought that we would have been flush, but we're not. Is that true?
We are tight, and we're tight for a number of different reasons.
Okay.
The corporate tax issue is one. You're correct. When shortly after the governor was elected, he did move to change a lot of the way our taxes are done. We got rid of the Michigan business tax, which was the replacement, if you remember, of the single business tax.
Right.
And what happened, though, is during the Great Recession, the state of Michigan had offered all sorts of tax incentives for companies to stay. There was a huge package of incentives that were offered to Ford, to General Motors, and to Chrysler, in part in an effort to help them survive. Remember when we were looking at bankruptcy for General Motors and Chrysler?
Right.
Ford was hanging on by its fingernails. But what happened is when we passed the tax reforms in beginning of the Snyder administration, we moved away from those taxes and we moved towards a corporate income tax of 6%. And what happened is these companies that had these credits under the prior system were given an opportunity to continue to pay under the old tax so that they could take advantage of those credits that were once offered. Well, what's happened is as these companies invest, these credits offer huge cash advantages for the investment. Well, they're investing now because the economy is booming. We're producing 17 million cars a year again. You know, the big three, Detroit contribution to that is somewhere around, you know, I think it's the 41 or 42% mark, that 17 million. They need plants, they're investing, and they're able to take advantage of those credits. So we're paying out often in some years hundreds of millions of dollars for these credits that were offered 10 years ago or more. So that's one reason our budget's tight. There's another reason besides the corporate tax. It has to do with the fact that our budget is comprised of not only the income tax and the corporate income tax, but it's also comprised of sales tax. And sales taxes are actually running flat, and they're projected to sort of start to decline over the next 2 years. And again, you kind of scratch your head and you think, well, why is that? It's because we're buying things online, and sales tax isn't applied to those things. We had a statistic that was presented yesterday in front of the legislature just over this Christmas. 18.1% of all Christmas holiday purchases were done over the Internet. So $1 out of every five, basically, isn't being subject to state sales tax. So as you can imagine, you combine those two factors, and we got a tight budget. And it's the interesting thing about Michigan, it's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse over the next couple of years.
Really? And so I see that also some discussion about, they were talking about raising the personal exemption also?
Yeah, they have to do that because of the way the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act that was passed in Congress, the way that impacts how our taxes are kind of determined. In Michigan, our income tax system is closely mirrored on what the federal government does. And basically, in the Tax Cut Jobs Act, what they did is they dialed down to zero and exempted its claim. Well, our personal exemption in Michigan is tied to that. So basically, those exemptions wouldn't be able to be taken anymore by our taxpayers. So what the state was looking at is all of a sudden our tax the revenue that's generated from our income tax is going to pop up by $1.5 billion. The average family was going to pay an extra $680 in state tax because of that kind of a unique change in the federal law. So they had to, basically, they're going to push through legislation probably in the next month that will restore that exemption on the state level so our taxes won't go up by that $680 a family or $1.5 billion across the whole state.
You know, I forgot to mention, too, you know, when they did the, gave the tax cut, years ago with when Snyder first got elected, not only did they give a billion and a half and some change back to those businesses and corporations that you just talked about are now collecting on those credits, they also decided to, which wouldn't seem like a lot of money, but they also decided to basically tax old people like me for their pensions, too. So I forgot to mention that. Some people will surely bring that up.
It depends how old you are and whether it's a public pension.
I was one of those born in 1953, John, so I took it.
So you got hit? You got hit?
Yeah. Like I said, I just was kind of, I'm glad you clarified it because, you know, we were, even last year we were talking about, the things were good, and it just shows you how quickly things change. So what that means is basically they're going to have to start talking about some cuts, correct?
They're going to have to start talking about what?
They're going to have to start talking about some cuts, correct? Or if things don't get better in the next year or so?
They are not willing. They are not willing to go there yet, for a couple of reasons. Some of these pressures that I mentioned that are going to make it worse over the next couple of years haven't really landed yet. For example, I don't know if you remember, we had an initiative a couple of years back where we decided the state to roll back personal property tax. It was at the behest of the specifically the manufacturing community.
Right.
They thought it was kind of punitive. They thought it was a disadvantage. And they've been arguing that for years. Well, we decided to roll that back, and it's a phased-in rollback. Well, that starts to add in hundreds of millions of dollars of new costs into the state budget through tax reductions, essentially. We have to make up tax losses. The other issue that we have is the roads. We had that that battle here a couple of years ago that we're gonna finally fund the roads, right? Well, that still haven't. I think in this coming fiscal year, we're gonna make a down payment on that around $350 million. That's gonna rise to about $800 million by 2020, and it's gonna stay there. So we have to figure out where that money. So nobody really wants to talk about budget cuts yet because we're in a booming economy, but we're going to be talking probably about budget cuts in the next 12 to 18 months. My guess is we're not going to hear much about cuts until sometime after November of this year, not when everybody won or lost their election, right? We don't want to raise any bad news while we're running for office, do we?
Right.
Yes, right.
We're talking to John Roerink with the Michigan Information and Resource Service. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. This is Buck Gino, and you're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
We are the BCTGM fighting for American jobs. Nabisco, maker of iconic snack brands like Oreo, Ritz Crackers, and Chips Ahoy, has made its fortunes in America, and its patriotic response has been to send U.S. jobs to Mexico. As a result, consumers across the U.S. continue to boycott their Mexican-made products. Corporate revenues are down across North America. Consumers are sending a loud, clear message. Now, religious leaders from all faiths across the U.S. are calling for an investigation into this Nabisco business model and have scheduled a 6-city tour to look deeper into the matter. Just as the NAFTA negotiations are in the forefront, the faith community will begin to talk to workers, politicians, and other faith-based leaders addressing this U.S. jobs exodus by Nabisco from a moral and ethical perspective and widely publishing their findings. The BCTGM and Interfaith Workers Justice, its faith-based coalition partner, ask all people of faith and social conscience to join this fight against Nabisco's exploitation of workers in the U.S. and in Mexico. Millions are already not buying Nabisco products made in Mexico, and it's already impacting their bottom line. Join our fight for moral and economic justice at fightforamericanjobs.org.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You know what really gets a party started? Indoor baseball. Yeah, just find a broom or a pool cue, and you can use, like, anything as a ball. Cans, bottles, shoes.
Hey, bro, toss me that avocado.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Underage drinking and driving, the ultimate party foul. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
Welcome back. You're listening to Work in Progress Radio on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. This is Nathan Ruggles here with you. Thanks for joining us here. I'd like to thank the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO as well as the IBEW Local 5. They support this program, this segment, and everything we do here at the Union Edge. Also, just as a note, too, we're not only live on the radio, but you can always catch our podcast. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, all the most popular platforms, as well as you can see it on our website at theunionedge.com. So we're back here with Buck Geno out of Florida today. Buck, it's great to have you on here.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, always. Also, we have John Murray. John's with the Michigan Information and Resource Service. John, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
You know, we're going to change gears here a little bit, John. I may surprise you a little bit, but, you know, we're going to talk. There's some, you know, there's a lot of talk or has been talk through the last year about NAFTA, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's going to be completely changed, if it's going to be just a little a bit. You know, and they say that if NAFTA is, basically repealed, if you will, for lack of a better word, you know, a lot of the states may be hurt. Michigan could stand maybe gain some jobs through the truck industry. But one of the things that if it gets into I'm reading your guys' piece here, that sparks a tit-for-tat. I mean, what brings that up is that I was talking to a couple of friends of mine, and they were basically having a discussion with some farmers. And come to find out that the farmers were kind of complaining a little bit that the corn industry wasn't bringing back as much profit as it used to be. And the reason was is that once the president basically decided that he was going to get into a little squabble with Mexico with everything about the wall and all the things that he was saying, is that now Mexico has decided to buy a majority of their corn from Brazil and Argentina instead of from America. And then I see where, some of these other countries because I believe that our biggest competitor is China. And I guess, do you think that perhaps that some of this rhetoric will end up hurting us from, because we, export a lot of stuff, and if we make a lot of people mad, they may just go elsewhere and get it.
Well, that's always the power of the marketplace, right? I mean, if you don't like what's being said by one provider of a service or a good, there's always usually another one that you could certainly go to. And I know it's a lot of people are watching these NAFTA negotiations. I think we're entering our sixth round of talks now with Canada and Mexico about the future of this thing. And I'm sure that what is being said in Washington, D.C., I mean, it people listen to it all around the world. It makes an impact on decisions they make as far as where they're going to get things like you mentioned, the corn. That's an interesting story, though. I hadn't heard that much. I'll have to make some calls on that so we can follow up on that.
Yeah, because it's that's what I guess my worry is, is that if you get into it, the words are tit for tat, basically, not only with Mexico, but with some of the others, or even some of them that we make mad, but, like I said, they could easily go and, obviously they're not going to be able to get everything from someone else.
Right.
It will, in the end, I believe, hurt the American worker or the American farmer.
Yep. Certainly rely on that.
So like, that becomes the other question is, you guys, you've been following politics, you've been following politicians, state legislators for a long time. Is it the responsibility of the political leaders today to basically set an example in some ways for the rest of us, you believe?
Yeah, I think that's always, I don't think that's changed. I mean, obviously there are some who are better at it than others. Obviously, we have, some examples now in Washington that you might wish were a little more restrained in terms of the way they certainly conduct themselves in some instances. But yeah, I think leadership, extends beyond just getting things passed. Certainly, it involves being a role model. I think that's true not just with politicians, though. I think it's true with business leaders. I think it's true with athletes in sports. I think there's everybody really has a responsibility to sort of maintain an example, I guess, for others you wouldn't.
Exactly, exactly. You bring up a valid point. You know, athletes are probably looked at, you know, on a wider range than even politicians, you know, because you have all the kids and the, you know,
well,
looking
it's,
at them.
It's the old axiom, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I think that's true with athletes. I think it's true with actors. I think it's true with politicians who are successful, community leaders, business leaders, labor leaders. Anybody who's a leader in any kind of organization or institution has expectations beyond just the accomplishment of a simple basic task at hand.
Exactly. We got about three or four minutes left here. What's coming up that you said there were certain things that they were going to start working on in a week or so? What's coming up that we should pay attention to?
Well, I think certainly you want to pay attention to what I mentioned earlier about the change in the state tax law to correct for that $1.5 billion tax increase we could face. There's a lot of politics going on about that. Some Republicans, including Bill Schuette, who's running for governor, want us to go even beyond that, cut taxes even more, which would be difficult, you know, in light of the budget talks or conversation we just had. It's probably going to get done. It's probably going to get done fairly quickly. But there's always a question about whether once you open up the tax code, is it going to be too tempting for Republicans to just say, all right, we're going to add an extra $400 or $500 million in tax cuts so we can say we cut your taxes in an election year.
Yeah.
So that'll be really important to watch. The governor's going to have his State of the State address on January 20th. He'll kind of outline what he wants to get done in his last year. So we can look forward to that. Obviously, the budget's coming up. He'll make his budget recommendations 6 days after that. So we'll start talking about where we're going to spend sort of the limited amount of money that the state government does have, where that'll go. So
So there's never an easy moment, is there?
Never a dull moment, no. Good, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, and once again, tell us about Michigan Information and Research Service and what you do and how we connect.
Absolutely. Again, we cover all things politics, all the bills. We've got reporters in the House, Senate, Judiciary, the Digital Branch, the courts. And we're online at mersnews.com, so check us out.
That being said, John, thanks very much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
And that being said, for Charles Showalter, Angela Bachman, Brittany Sheets, Nathan Ruggles, and the rest of the Union Edge team, I'm Buck Gino, and you've been listening to the Union Edge. I was talking to
you. Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.